Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 46, Astonishment and Chivalry. Astonishment. The ecstasy of astonishment in devotional service is perceived in two ways. Directly by the experience of one's eyes, and indirectly by hearing from others. When Narada came to see the activities of the Lord at Dwaraka, and he saw that Krishna was present in every palace in the same body and was engaged in different activities, Narada was struck with wonder. This is one of the examples of astonishment in devotional service by direct perception. One of the friends of Mother Yashoda once said, "Just see the fun. On one hand, there is your child, who is always captivated by sucking the milk from your breast. And on the other hand, there is the great Govardhan Hill, which can obstruct the passing of the clouds. But still, just see how wonderful it is that this great Govardhan Hill is resting upon the finger of Krishna's left hand just as though it were a toy. So, is this not very mysterious?" This statement is another example of astonishment in devotional service by direct perception. An instance of astonishment in devotional service by indirect perception occurred when Maharaj Parikshit heard from Shukadeva Goswami about Krishna's killing Naraka Asura, who had been fighting Krishna with 11 Akshauhini divisions of soldiers. Each division of Akshauhini soldiers contained several thousand elephants, several thousand horses and chariots, and several hundreds of thousands of infantry soldiers. Naraka Asura possessed 11 such divisions, and all of them were throwing arrows towards Krishna. But Krishna killed them all simply by throwing 3 arrows from his side. So when Maharaj Parikshit heard of this wonderful victory, he immediately rubbed the tears from his eyes and became overwhelmed with joy. This instance is an example of astonishment in devotional service by indirect perception through oral reception. There is another example of indirect astonishment. Trying to test Krishna to see if Krishna were truly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and cows from Krishna. But after a few seconds, Brahma saw that Krishna was still present with all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys exactly in the same way as before. When Lord Brahma described this incident to his associates on the Satyaloka planet, they all became astonished. Brahma told them that after taking away all the boys, Lord Brahma saw Krishna again playing with the same boys in the same fashion. Their bodily complexion was blackish, almost like Krishna's, and they all had 4 arms. The same calves and cows were still present there in the same original fashion. Even while describing this incident, Brahma became almost overwhelmed. The most astonishing thing was that many other Brahmas from many different universes had also come there to worship Krishna and his associates. Similarly, when there was a forest fire in the Bandiravana, Krishna instructed his friends to close their eyes tightly, and they all did this. Then, when Krishna had extinguished the fire, the cowherd boys opened their eyes And they saw that they had been relieved from the danger, and that their cows and calves were all safe. They began to perceive the wonder of the situation simply by guessing how Krishna had saved them. This is another instance of indirect perception causing astonishment in devotional service. The activities of a person, even if they are not very extraordinary, create an impression of wonder in the heart and mind of the person's friends. But even very wonderful activities performed by a person who is not one's friend will not create any impression. It is because of love that one's wonderful activities create an impression in the mind. Chivalry. When, on account of love and devotional service for the Lord, there is special valorous enthusiasm, the resultant activities are called chivalrous. These chivalrous activities can be manifested in the acts of mock fighting, giving charity, showing mercy, and executing religious principles. By performing chivalrous activities in fighting, one is called Yudhavira. By charitable activities, one is called Dhanavira. By showing extraordinary mercy, one is called Dayavira. And when one is munificent in executing religious rites, one is called Dharmavira. In all such different chivalrous activities, Krishna is the object. When a friend wants to satisfy Krishna by performing some chivalrous activities, the friend becomes the challenger and Krishna himself becomes the opponent. Or else, Krishna may give audience to the fighting and by Krishna's desire, another friend becomes the opponent. Once, a friend challenged Krishna, "My dear Madhava, you are very restless because you think that no one can defeat you. But if you do not flee from here, then I shall show you how I can defeat you, and my friends will be very satisfied upon seeing this." Krishna and Sri Dama were very intimate friends, and yet Sri Dama, out of anger with Krishna, challenged him. When both of them began to fight, all the friends on the bank of the Yamuna enjoyed the wonderful fighting between the two friends. They prepared some arrows for mock fighting, and Krishna began to throw arrows at Sri Dama. Sri Dama began to block these arrows by whirling his pole, and by Sri Dama's chivalrous activities, Krishna became very satisfied. Such mock fighting generally takes place among chivalrous persons and creates wonderful excitement for all viewers. There is a statement in the Harivamsa that sometimes Arjuna and Krishna fought in the presence of Kunti, and Arjuna would be defeated by Krishna. In such chivalrous fighting between friends, there is sometimes bragging, complacence, pride, power, taking to weapons, challenging, and standing as an opponent. All of these symptoms become impetus to chivalrous devotional service. One friend challenged Krishna, "My dear friend Damodara, you are an expert but only in eating. You have defeated Subala only because he is weak, and you adopted cheating means. So don't advertise yourself to be a great fighter by such action. You have advertised yourself as a serpent. But just as the peacock is the ablest enemy of the serpent, I will now defeat you." In such fighting between friends, When the self-advertisement becomes personal, learned scholars say that this is sub-ecstasy. When there is a roaring challenge, or certain kinds of movement for fighting, or enthusiasm, the absence of weapons, and assurances given to frightened witnesses, all these chivalrous activities are called sub-ecstasy. A friend addressed Krishna in this manner, "My dear Madhusudana, you know my strength, and yet you are encouraging Bhadrasena and not me to challenge mighty Baladev. So by this action, you are simply insulting me, because my arms are as strong as the bolts of the Geat." A devotee once said, "My dear Lord Krishna, may your challenger Sudama become glorious for his chivalrous activities, such as vibrating like a thundercloud and roaring like a lion. May all glories go to Sudama's chivalrous activities." Chivalrous activities in the matter of fighting, charity, mercy, and execution of religious rituals are called constitutional, whereas expressions of pride, emotion, endurance, kindness, determination, jubilation, enthusiasm, jealousy, and remembrance are called unconstitutional. When Stoka Krishna, one of the many friends of Krishna, was fighting with Krishna, his father chastised him for fighting with Krishna, who was the life and soul of all the residents of Vrindavan. Upon hearing these chastisements, Stoka Krishna stopped his fighting, but Krishna continued to challenge him. And thus, in order to meet the challenge, Stoka Krishna took his pole and began to display his dexterity by whirling it. And once, Sridhama challenged Bhadrasena, "My dear friend, you needn't be afraid of me just yet, for I shall first of all defeat our brother Balaram, then I shall beat Krishna, and then I shall come after you." Bhadrasena therefore left the party of Balaram and joined Krishna, and agitated his friends as much as the Mandara hill had agitated the whole ocean. And by his roaring sounds, Bhadrasena deafened all of his friends, and thus inspired Krishna with his chivalrous activities. Once, Krishna challenged all of his friends, "Just see, I am jumping with great chivalrous prowess. Please do not flee away." And upon hearing these challenging words, a friend named Varuthappa counter-challenged Krishna and struggled against him. One of Krishna's friends once remarked, "Sudama is trying his best to see Damodara defeated, and I think that if our powerful Subala joins him, they will be a very beautiful combination, like a valuable jewel bedecked with gold." In all of these chivalrous activities, only Krishna's friends can be the opponents. Krishna's enemies can never actually be Krishna's opponents, and therefore, this challenging by Krishna's friends is called devotional service in chivalrous activities. Dana-vira, or chivalry in giving charity, may be divided into two parts, munificence and renunciation. A person who can sacrifice everything for the satisfaction of Krishna is called munificent. When a person desires to make a sacrifice because of seeing Krishna, Krishna is called the impetus of the munificent activity. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj in clear consciousness Nanda Maharaj desired all auspiciousness for his son, and thus he began to give valuable cows in charity to all the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were so satisfied by this charitable action that they were obliged to say that the charity of Nanda Maharaj had excelled the charity of such past kings as Maharaj Prithu and King Nriga. When a person knows the glories of the Lord completely and is prepared to sacrifice everything for the Lord, one is called Sampradanaka, or one who gives everything in charity for the sake of Krishna. When Maharaj Yudhisthira went with Krishna into the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice, in Yudhisthira's imagination, he began to anoint the body of Krishna with the pulp of sandalwood. Yudhisthira decorated Krishna with a garland hanging down to Krishna's knees. Yudhisthira gave Krishna garments all embroidered with gold, and Yudhisthira gave Krishna ornaments all bedecked with valuable jewels. Yudhisthira also gave Krishna many fully decorated elephants, chariots, and horses. Yudhisthira further wished to give Krishna in charity his entire kingdom, family, and even his own personal self as well. And after so desiring, when there was nothing actually to give in charity, Maharaj Yudhisthira became very perturbed and anxious. Similarly, Maharaj Vali once told his priest Shukra Acharya, "My dear sage, you are fully expert in the knowledge of the Vedas, and as such, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by means of the Vedic rituals. But as far as this dwarf Brahmana is concerned, if this Vamana Dev is Lord Vishnu, or a simple Brahmana, or even my enemy, still I have decided to give him in charity all the land he has asked for." Maharaj Bali was so fortunate that Vamana Dev extended before him his hand, which was reddish from touching the breast of the goddess of fortune, who is always smeared with red kumkum powder. In other words, although the personality of Godhead is so great that the goddess of fortune is always under his command for enjoyment, Vamana Dev still extended his hands to take charity from Maharaj Bali. A person who wants to give everything in charity to Krishna and does not want anything in return is considered to be the real renouncer. Thus, a devotee will refuse to accept any kind of liberation, even if it is offered by the Lord. Real love of Krishna becomes manifest when Krishna becomes the recipient of charity and the devotee becomes the giver. In the Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, there is another example forwarded by Maharaj Dhruva. Stana Vilashi Tapasi Svatohang Twang Praptavan Deva Munindra Guhyam Kachang Vichinvan Api Divya Ratnang Swamin Kritartosmi Varang Nayache. My dear Lord, I have practiced austerities and penances because I was desiring to receive something from you. But in exchange, you have allowed me to see you, who are never visible, even to the great sages and saintly persons. I had been searching out some broken pieces of glass, but instead I have found the most valuable jewel. I am therefore fully satisfied, my Lord, and I do not wish to ask anything more from your Lordship. A similar statement is to be found in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15, verse 48. The four sages, headed by Sanaka Muni, address the Lord as follows. Natyantikam viganayanti apite prasadam kim vanyad arpita bhayam bruva unayaiste yengatvad angri sharana bhavata kataya kirtanya tirtha yashasa kushala rasagya. Dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, your reputation is very attractive and free from all material contamination. Therefore, you are worthy of being glorified and are actually the reservoir of all places of pilgrimage. Auspicious persons who are fortunate enough to be engaged in glorifying your attributes and who actually know what your transcendental position is do not even care to accept liberation offered by you. And because they are so transcendentally enriched, they do not care to accept even the post of Indra, the heavenly king. They know that the post of the king of heaven is also fearful, whereas for those who are engaged in glorifying your transcendental qualities, there is only joyfulness and freedom from all danger. As such, why should persons with this knowledge be attracted by a post in the heavenly kingdom? One devotee has described his feelings about the charity exhibited by King Mayuradvaja. I am faltering even to speak about the activities of Maharaj Mayuradvaja, to whom I offer my respectful obeisances. Mayuradvaja was very intelligent and could understand why Krishna came to him once in the garb of a brahmana. Krishna demanded from him half of his body to be sawed off by his wife and son, and King Mayuradvaja agreed to this proposal. And on account of his intense feeling of devotional service, King Mayuradvaja was always thinking of Krishna. And when he understood that it was actually Krishna who had come in the garb of this brahmana, he did not hesitate to part with half of his body. The sacrifice of Maharaj Mayuradvaja for Krishna's sake is unique in the world, and we should offer our all respectful obeisances unto him. He had full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was in the garb of a brahmana. And so, King Mayuradvaja is known as the perfect Danavira or renouncer. Any person who is always ready to satisfy Krishna and who is always dexterous in executing devotional service is called Dharmavira or chivalrous in executing religious rituals. Only advanced devotees performing religious ritualistic performances can come to the stage of Dharmavira. Dharmaviras are produced after going through the authoritative scriptures, following moral principles, being faithful and tolerant, as well as controlling the senses. Persons who execute religious rituals only for the satisfaction of Krishna are steady in devotional service, whereas persons who execute religious rituals without intending to please Krishna are only called pious. The best example of a Dharmavira is Maharaj Yudhisthira. Once, a devotee told Krishna, "My dear Krishna, O killer of all demons, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the eldest son of Maharaj Pandu, has performed all kinds of sacrifices just to please you. Yudhishthir has always invited the heavenly king Indra to take part in these yajñas. And because King Indra was thus absent so often from Shachi Devi, she had to pass much of her time pining over Indra's absence with her cheeks upon her hands. The performance of different yajñas for the demigods is considered to be worship of the limbs of the Supreme Lord. The demigods are considered to be different parts of the universal body of the Lord, and therefore the ultimate purpose in worshiping the demigods is to please the Lord by partially worshiping his different limbs. However, Maharaj Yudhisthira had no such material desire. Yudhisthira executed all sacrifices under the direction of Krishna, and not to take any personal advantage from them. Yudhisthira desired only to please Krishna, and was therefore called the best of devotees. Yudhisthira was always merged in the ocean of loving service. Thus ends chapter 46 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Astonishment and Chivalry. Recorded April 23rd, 2021 by Nirantara Das. All glories to the author, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.